As you can tell, I've not fixed my iPad. No one responded last week with the little iTools, and so I beseech you again, if you know how to fix one, let me know. But hey, before we get started this morning, don't start the timer yet for those who like to know how long I preach and start grumbling when it goes too long. Not that that's any of y'all, I'm just kidding. But before we get started this morning, I just want to reemphasize what James talked about earlier. Of course, our connection group, hope lots of folks can stay. Going to have lots of good Johnny's Pizza. It's always good, right? So here's the thing. The worst possible thing that could happen today, if you're not a member and you stay for our connection group, let's say you find out, okay, we're a crazy cult. It's just weird up in here, but you're going to walk away with some Johnny's Pizza. So worst possible thing, you get free Johnny's and we're crazy people. Best thing is you find this is the place that God has for you and invest your family in, your lives in, and you get Johnny's Pizza. So anyway, either way, you walk away with Johnny's Pizza. But the Blitz is what I'm really excited about, even more than Johnny's Pizza. Next Saturday at 10 o'clock, we're going to meet up here. I cheated. I didn't walk the streets this week. I went on, not Google Earth, the newest cool one. The newest, coolest map program is Microsoft Bird's Eye. Have y'all heard of that? You can flip the map around. It's pretty neat. Anyway, so I bird's eyed this place. There are right at 100 houses plus the apartment complexes between us and Pine Hills. And so a few more than what I thought there were. So lots of homes, we're going to knock on the door, and again, we're going to give them, we're going to say hi, we're going to introduce ourselves as North Hills Church, we're going to give them a little prayer magnet that has our information on there as a church, with just the question, how can we pray for you? Because we want our neighbors to know that we're here to pray for them and to serve them, and not just another church on the block. And then also going to invite them to our crawfish bowl, which I'm even more excited about. Because it's crawfish and it's the church, two great things combined. And it's going to be on a Sunday, the 17th. Is that right? Please, somebody. Christy, I'm my calendar girl. Calendar Christy, that works. That's your new name, Calendar Christy. So the 17th at 12 o'clock, we're going to bowl crawfish after our service and hopefully see 30 or 40 or 100, who knows, neighbors come. And I'm just excited about, like Jesus has done, as we've gotten to in the past few weeks, starting this public ministry, we can actually get out to the streets, meet our neighbors, get to know them, and ultimately, not just for the sake of having fun, not just for the sake of having crawfish, not just for the sake of us actually doing something, but ultimately taking the gospel to our neighbors. And so I just encourage you to be a part of that, even if you're not a member of North Hills and you just want to be a part of that. That's next Saturday at 10 o'clock. And who knows, it may end with Johnny's Pizza as well. So that's next Saturday. So we good? Yes. All right, so we're in Luke chapter 4 this morning. We didn't make that kind of a jump. We started last week with a message entitled Jesus, the Defeater of Dullness, Demons, and Disease. And so we just kind of continue that because we didn't get to disease. And so this morning we have Jesus, the Defeater of Dullness, Demons, and Disease, part two. Just to throw another D in there. So this is kind of just finishing up last week. But let me tell you, there is just some great, great stuff in this passage. I appreciate James reading that a while ago. It's just, you know, your Bible probably entitles it the same as mine, Jesus Heals the Many. And just one of the many times that Jesus is going to heal, not just a person, but groups of people. And so we're going to see Jesus healing. And so just some really good stuff. Let's just pray as we kind of turn our minds towards God's Word. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, who's not just a historic textbook figure that we can draw facts from, Lord, but He is your only begotten Son who came to this earth, who lived a perfect life, who fulfilled every aspect of the law, who healed physically and spiritually, and He offers the same today. And so we pray in Jesus' name that you would fill this place and fill us with your Spirit and your Word. In His strong name we pray, amen. So this morning, as we're talking about healing, of course, I woke up this morning. I told you last week, I won't go into the same gross details, just allergy infection, just horrible, even worse than last week. And this morning, it just was horrible. And so, of course, I'm preaching on healing, and Jesus is capable of healing our physical infirmities. And so I struggled. Do I grab the generic Sudafed, or do I just pray, or maybe I do just both, because God's given us Sudafed, right? And so I took my Sudafed. I was like, wasn't feeling good at all. It was just horrible. It was probably the worst I felt on a Sunday morning. in a long, long time. My lovely wife, and said, just go to the office and just sit down and just close your eyes. I'm like, I'll be gone. I'll be asleep. I have to wake me up. It's time to preach. And so I just sent a message out on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, just, hey, I just need you to pray for me because I need the prayer and you need the practice. And so lots of folks, I believe, gathered and prayed. And literally, I don't think after I sent the message out, just healing began, just came to me. And so the Lord healed me. And so I'm just really excited. And so when you go from really sick to really not sick in a short period, you get really excited. And so bear with me if I'm a little hyper this morning. So anyway, here we go. Luke chapter 4, verse 38. Let's see how Jesus healed far more than an allergy infection or allergy attack. I want to reread this. This is a short passage, especially this first part. It says, he arose. If you remember, he was teaching in the synagogue. Now, there are some, we won't go into it much, but there are some chronology issues here that even it's hard for me to figure out. But at this point, you know, from verse 31 to 32, there's a lot that happens. When he goes to Galilee, and actually at the end of this text that James read in verse 44, it says that he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. But your Bible may have a footnote on the bottom that says that newer manuscripts say Galilee, because he's in the Galilean region. He's in Capernaum. He's setting up and he's teaching. If you actually have to go back to, I believe it's Mark's gospel, and you'll see that he has the first encounter with the disciples. Sometimes we think he just shows up because of the disciples and he goes. It's actually a process. He went to the disciples a couple times and he gave the message, follow me. And so he'd already met the disciples, those who would be disciples, specifically those first four, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And so he's already met them once. That's why we're going to see him here in Simon's house. And so, and then in chapter 5, we'll see him calling those disciples yet again to follow him. So that's kind of where we are. He's in Galilee, he's in Capernaum, he's teaching. So last week he had healed the demon-possessed man in the synagogue. Now he rose up, he's leaving the synagogue, and he's entered Simon's house, he's entered Peter's house. And now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever. And just a quick little interesting note, do you know who Peter is to the Catholic Church? He's the first pope. And you know one thing, thing most of us know about popes is they don't marry, right? What's interesting, Peter was married because he has a mother-in-law. And I don't know a man alive who has a mother-in-law who doesn't have a wife. I don't know anybody who's ever searched for a mother-in-law, but we search for wives, and God gives us wives, and part of that, he gives us mother-in-laws at times. And I'm blessed with a great mother-in-law, and I even say that without Erica being here. So please, let her know. So anyway, so now Simon's mother-in-law was ill and with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve him. And we'll read the second half in just a little bit. They went and did the same, and people came to him, and he healed all night long. And we just see a picture of Jesus that we're going to see time and time again in Luke's gospel, that you see it all through all four gospels, is that Jesus heals physical sickness during his ministry. And during his 3 years, he healed lots and lots of people. And there are lots of accounts of Jesus healing. There's accounts of apostles healing and laying hands on people and being healed. Before we really start our message, because there's two great insights I'd like us to gather from this text, I want to just kind of just first, before we really preach, I want to teach just for a second. But can I teach just for a second on this issue, this doctrine of healing? Because it's one of those things that I believe often the church misses. I think it's one of those things that some churches do way too much of and put way too much emphasis on and probably abuse. And then there are other churches that probably neglect the gifts of healing, neglect God's healing. And so just a quick thing, obviously Jesus healed. We can't argue the fact that he laid hands on people. They were sick and then they were not sick. They healed, he healed people. He healed individuals. And we're not just talking about they have a cough or they have allergies or their eye hurts. I mean, some of them were dead and he healed them. He raised them up and they walked and they talked and they hung out and they had a party. So he really healed people. Peter's mother-in-law here says she had a high fever. Again, Luke is the doctor. And so for Luke to say she had a high fever, I imagine that as he was doing his investigation, he found out that she was pretty bad sick. And in those days, it wasn't good to get a high fever. Today, you get a high fever, and what do? You go open a bottle, right? And find your glass of water. You try to get that fever down. If it gets really bad, you may go to the doctor. But high fevers aren't nearly as dangerous as they were back then. This lady, his mother-in-law, was probably, we'll take some liberties here, was probably on the verge of dying because they were concerned for him. And so, but Jesus healed her. He healed her of whatever it was that she had, and she got up and she served. So he clearly healed her, and he clearly heals the blind and the lame. He heals, you know, he casts out demons. Jesus does stuff that we don't see anymore. His apostles did likewise. You see, even in the New Testament, he sends them out, and I believe it's Luke chapter 10, he sends them out to heal the sick. And the apostles, after Jesus died, and they're starting the church, and they're doing signs and wonders, they're healing people, and even raising some from the dead. And it's just some really cool stuff. And so one question is, why don't we see that anymore? And I think Luke 10 is probably, just for the sake of time, there's lots of things I'd like to talk about, but for the sake of time, in Luke chapter 10, when he sends out those 72, the question is there still the gift of healing? You know, do people still walk around and have this gift, as the apostles had, as the first disciples had, to lay hands on someone in the name of Jesus and be healed? And so the answer is yes, and the answer is no. And so what we see in Luke 10 is he sends out these 72 in pairs. And James and I were looking at this, and James just had some really good insight here. And so they were sending them out, and they were healing, and they were casting out demons. And you'll see that in 17 through 20 there. They're casting out demons, and they're just excited. And he says, that's not what to really be excited about. Be excited because I'm here. Then there in verse 23, I think, gives us some really good clarity here. Because here's the thing. We don't see a whole lot, especially in the Western church, of people with the gift of healing, the ability in Jesus' name to lay hands on somebody and to heal them. Obviously, God heals. And some of you have great testimonies in here of God has healed you, maybe of cancer or other sickness. I believe God healed me this morning. It wasn't Sudafed. Ultimate healing comes from God. But at the same time, do we see this gift? And we can't just say it doesn't exist because we don't see it. Because if you go over to the mission fields, we talked last week, we talked about how missionaries are generally seeing demons, demon-possessed people in the name of Jesus, casting them out. And you can talk to missionaries, and there is a very real sense of God's Spirit, a very real sense of Him healing people physically. And so the disciples are doing this. He's sending them out, and He's coming back. And Jesus says this in verse 23. He says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And so we can't explain how God works, when He works, why He works, but we can say God works and we can say God heals. And I believe His Spirit is at work all across this world. And whether or not we see the gift of healing, of laying hands in our church, in our community, God still heals. We need to be very careful of those who practice types and forms of gifts of healing. And then also healing services. It's interesting this week. I just wanted to mention, you know, First West had a healing service. And the pastor over that's a friend of mine, a seminary professor of mine, and I just had a chance to talk to him this week. And I just wanted to commend them, not for the sake of commending them, but just to say here's a church that is doing a healing service very well. And so they just felt led by the Lord on Wednesday night to have a service. And all their pastors were up front and available. And they said, if you need healing, you know, of any sorts, then you're welcome to come here and anoint them with oil, as it says in James chapter 5. You want to jot these verses down. It's James 5, 13 through 14. We'll get to in just a second. And people came, and Dwight said about 35 or 40 people came, and it was just a great time of people trusting the Lord to heal them. And so so something we don't see enough of is us trusting the Lord for our healing. And so that's kind of where we are this morning, is Jesus is healing people. So what are we to gather from this text? And there's two things, there's two insights I want us to get. The first of which is this, is that people sought Jesus for healing. People sought Jesus for healing. If you look in this text, it's interesting. I heard a pastor speak this week, and he was in Mark, and he said, if you notice in this passage, the people didn't ask Jesus to heal them. He just healed them. I'm like, wait, I think it says something a little bit different in Luke, and I think it's a pretty important point. Because if you look there in verse 38, it says he's in the house, and mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. that they sought Jesus. And these disciples, I'm sure they've already been seeing Jesus do miracles. They've already been hearing the stories of the sick that He's healed. Because remember, He's been doing ministry for 6 months to a year, maybe a year and a half. He's been healing people. They know who Jesus is, who He claims to be. So they appealed to Him, "Lord, would You heal my mother-in-law?" And so they sought Him. They took the initiative. And that's interesting to me. So I started searching this week. And I found that in almost every case that Jesus heals somebody in Scripture, it is almost always on the initiative of that person. That people are seeking Jesus, say, "Jesus, will You heal me?" Jesus wasn't walking around trying to find people to heal. Now, there were a few occasions where, yes, He did approach somebody on His initiative, on His doing to heal someone. And every single time that He did that, it was always to teach a lesson. And so the point is that Jesus' focus was not on physical healing, but it was on spiritual healing. Whenever He took the initiative, you know, it was the time where He was talking about whose fault was it this guy is sick. Was it the sin of him or the sin of his parents? And He was trying to teach on sin and teach on grace and teach on healing. And other times in Scripture He would teach. But almost every time that we see in Luke's Gospel, in Mark's Gospel, in Matthew's Gospel, in John's Gospel, that Jesus is healing people, they are coming to Him. They are coming and say, "Jesus, will You heal me? Jesus, will You heal my daughter? Jesus, will You heal this person?" Maybe far off, and they're a long way away, and sometimes the stories went, "But I believe that You can do it." And almost always, Jesus healed them. We'll see in chapter 5 where He didn't heal everybody. Now, I referred to a while ago, James chapter 5. This is an important passage, kind of bringing this in the 21st century. If I knew where James was. It's right before Hebrews, right? Right after Hebrews, like I said. In James chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, it says this, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And again, we see that the role of the elders, there is a place for them to lay hands on the sick of the church and to pray over them and to believe in healing and believe that God can heal. But where does the initiative start? Where does the healing start? It says, "Let them seek." It says, "Let them call for the elders, for them to come and to pray for them, lay hands on them and to anoint them." And so both in the healing ministry of Jesus and the healing ministry of the church with the elders, it always starts with the people to come seeking healing. But why doesn't Jesus take the initiative? Why don't we as elders of the church, why don't we take initiative? Why don't we figure out who is sick in here? Why don't we just like call every week, "Hey, you know, are you feeling okay? Okay, good. Are you feeling okay? Oh, you're not? We'll be there in about 10 minutes. We just got a fresh shipment of oil in. We'll be there. We're going to knock this thing out right now." But that's not how we see it in Scripture. And I think that the connecting thing here between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the church is a word called faith. What we see is the people who came to Jesus to be healed and the people who came to the elders to be healed, they needed faith to be healed. And in Jesus' ministry, especially in the Gospel of Luke, of all the times that He healed, three of those, He said the exact same thing. Once they were healed, He said, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." And this is something that we can't miss. It is your faith that has made you well. If you want to jot these down, in Luke 8:48, 17:19, and 18:42, all of those, Jesus heals someone, much different context, much different ways. And at the end of it, He said, "It is your faith that has made you well." You know, Jesus is not just another prescription bottle. He's not just something on the shelf that we're feeling sick. Okay, that didn't work. This didn't work. I'm out of this. Doctor said I can't have any more of this. I guess I should pray now. Lord, will You heal me? Now, that's not how Jesus works. That is not His desire. He's not meant to be our catch-all healing factor. He's not our magic prescription bottle that we can just call on to be healed. Because His concern is far more than just our physical healing. His concern is our spiritual healing. Physical healing is not always what God desires. last week, I had a chance to go to Cedar Crest Men's Breakfast. And the main reason I went was this guy named Buddy Fisher. And I can tell you this story. I didn't ask Buddy, but he told it publicly, so I'll just kind of share it publicly. If y'all know Buddy, you can encourage him this week. But Buddy just has an amazing story. And it was, in essence, you know, Buddy's been in church a long time, on and off. And he has a family, he has some sons. And about a year ago, year and a half ago or so, I'll just kind of give you the cliff notes. Buddy got sick. Buddy got bad sick. Buddy got cancer sick. And I don't know if you've ever struggled with cancer. I haven't struggled with cancer. I've walked with a lot of people who have struggled with cancer. I've talked to a lot of folks with cancer. Cancer's never good. Cancer's never something like, hey, thanks, doc. I'm so glad for the news. Cancer is one of those life-changing bits of news that you can get from your physician. And so, of course, Buddy was just distraught when it finally hit him what was going on. He called his family, and his son was just, and the words Buddy always used was a disciple, was one that was following Jesus. And his son came over to his house that night. And, of course, Buddy is just broken down. He's got cancer. His family's there. You know, and where you would think his son would say, Dad, I'm praying for you to be healed. Dad, we're here for you. We're praying for you. You know what his son told his dad? His son said, Dad, I'm not praying for you to be healed, but for God to use cancer to save you. I'm like, wow, someone who gets it. He's someone who gets it, that Buddy's biggest concern wasn't his physical healing, wasn't that cancer would go away, but Buddy's biggest issue was that he would come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and that he would trust Him and follow Him. And there are sick ones in our life, there are loved ones in our life who are sick, who are hurting, who may have cancer, who may have other problems, who are just, you know, whatever we're praying for. Before we pray for their physical healing, we need to make sure we're praying for their spiritual healing. Physical healing is not always what God desires. But every time that we see physical healing in Scripture, it always comes through this gift of faith. It always comes from us believing that Jesus can do what He says He can do. And what's interesting, if you remember from our Ephesians series last year, and if you weren't here, that ultimately this gift of faith is not even our own. It's not even that we can wake up and we can just say, okay, you know, I want to be healed, or I need to be saved, and I just want to be saved today. I just want to be healed today. Faith is not even of our own. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, it says, when you try quoting things up here, you just kind of go blank. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not even faith is our own. Faith is something that God instills in us, but we have to take that responsibility. We have to take that initiative to exercise that faith. God gives us the gift of faith, but we must exercise it by placing it in the person of Jesus Christ. And John Piper says something very good about placing our faith in Jesus. At Passion in 2012, to about 40,000 college students, he said this. He says, believing in Jesus is a soul coming to Jesus to be satisfied in all that He is. And he kind of breaks it down. Let me say it one more time. Believing in Jesus, did I put that up there? Believing in Jesus is a soul coming to Jesus to be satisfied in all that He is. Not just for what He gives us, not just for how He can heal us, not just how He can make our life better, but satisfied in all that He is. Then he breaks it down in three things. He says, seeing and savoring Jesus, being satisfied with all that God is for us in Jesus, and trusting Jesus. That is what salvation looks like. It's not some flippant decision just to, Lord, heal me, Lord, save me. It is us believing and trusting in Jesus and knowing that He is God incarnate, and that we are to be satisfied in Him and to savor Him. And so when Jesus heals people, and even His mother-in-law, we're going to see in just a second, He didn't just heal her and she get up and go about her life. She was transformed. So we see that people sought Jesus for healing, and He healed them. And secondly, the second thing we see from this passage is that people served Jesus because they were healed. People served Jesus because they were healed. And I just love this. They appealed to Him. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose up and began to serve them. So Jesus came on the scene. She's sick, maybe on the brink of death. He rebukes the fever. He brings physical healing to her mother-in-law. And what's the first thing she does? She doesn't say, Jesus, how'd you do it? She doesn't try to catch up. And more than likely, she's been sick for a while. She doesn't, you know, try to catch up with her friends. She immediately begins to serve Jesus because she has been healed by Jesus. And I think that is the response that comes from true healing and even true salvation, is that we are motivated to serve because of what God has done for us. There is a guy, his name is Kenny. He helped us paint in this building, and Kenny is one of those guys that if you saw Kenny in Walmart, you'd probably give him a few bucks. I mean, he just looks, I mean, he's got the beard, like he was doing the Duck Dynasty beard before Duck Dynasty was cool. I mean, just big old shaggy beard, you know, just kind of a big fella. It's just kind of hard to describe Kenny, but maybe you kind of get a picture of him. But Kenny's this guy, he came into paint for him one day, and I didn't know Kenny at all, and I just knew that he was the cheapest guy in town. And a buddy of mine is doing some painting, a big painting project. So look, you need to call Kenny. And like all the other bids were like way up here. Kenny was like way down here. Not because he's a bad painter. He's actually a great painter. If you need a painter, send me afterwards. I'll give you Kenny's number. He's the guy to paint. But the reason Kenny is such a cheap painter is because years ago, again, cancer, I guess, is kind of a theme this morning. He had cancer. And God just miraculously healed Kenny of his cancer. And from that very moment, he began serving the Lord. And he began working unto the Lord. And he began serving Him in all kind of different ways. But he told me the stories as he's painting the church. And even he gave me this really low, low price. I mean, I just feel bad for making, you know, for charging. I'm like, dude, I'll pay you double that. I mean, just, but he's such a good painter and a cheap painter. But the reason that he was able to do this, because he was serving the Lord, because God healed him, and he committed the rest of his life to serving God, to serving the church, and to serving other people. And that was his goal, and that's still his goal today. Does that mean we need to be cheap in what we do? No. But it just, we should strive to be servants. We should strive to serve others and to serve the Lord because of what God has done for us. And there's another guy I met recently. His name is Doug, and he is serving a church as a volunteer person. He doesn't have to work anymore, so he has the opportunity to serve basically full time. You say, well, that's easy. If I didn't have to work, if I didn't have an 8-to-5 job, if I didn't have to provide my family, I'd go up to the church all day too and serve. But here's the unique thing about Doug. Doug hasn't been healed. Doug hasn't been, because he has some physical difficulties. He has some physical difficulties in his life that every single day he is living in excruciating pain. Excruciating pain. He said there are some nights that he can't even get up from his recliner. That his whole body is just on fire and pain. And all he can do, he said a few weeks ago, see, he was sitting there, it was just about 10 o'clock at night, he just hit him. He just put his iPod in, put on some worship music, and he said he just sat there in pain until 7 a.m. the next day and finally drifted off to sleep. But even through that pain, even though Jesus has not physically healed them, every day he serves the Lord. Sometimes Jesus physically heals us and sometimes he doesn't. But the thing that Doug knows is that Jesus has healed him eternally. That this body may never see comfort and peace, but his soul rests in the hands of the Lord because he trusts Jesus. And that's what motivates his service. And so I guess the question for me and for us is, looking at Kenny's life and Doug's life and looking at Peter's mother-in-law's life here, what is our service based on? Is it based on duty and discipline, or is it based out of desire? Do we serve the church? Do we serve the bride of Christ and Jesus himself? Do we honor God because it's our duty? Because as good Christians we should? Or do we serve the church because God has saved us? And God has healed us. And God has worked wonders in our life. Because if you serve the church and if you serve Christ just because it's the good Christian thing to do, and that's what you're supposed to do at church, and that's what the pastor's always saying, we need folks to serve. And if that's our motivation, you will burn out very quickly. But if you serve the church because of what God has done for you already, you will not burn out because you're not serving for yourself. You're not serving for earthly rewards. You are serving unto the Lord. And can you imagine the attitude of his mother-in-law whenever she was healed and immediately she got up? She was rejoicing and I can only imagine how much joy it brought her to serve her Lord, her Savior, these disciples with him because of what he had done for her. And sometimes we need to remember what Christ has done for us. If you ever find yourself grumbling because of maybe not even just serving the church, maybe I'm serving my wife and I'm just tired of it today and she doesn't deserve it today, she was mean to me today, or you don't want to serve your kids because they're acting a fool today. Can I get a witness? Y'all liars. But we remember we serve our family. We serve our spouses. We serve the church. We serve those around us, not because of what's in us, but because of what's in Christ and because of what he's done for us. So are we serving out of duty and discipline, or are we serving out of desire? Desire is the only thing that will carry you. Duty, you will burn out very, very quickly. And the last thing we see, I lied, I said there were two. We got to the third one here. Is this this next section. He heals the mother-in-law on their request. And then her response is serving. And then it says, now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. Let's just stop there just for a second. Sometimes we romanticize the healing ministry of Jesus that, you know, hey, he's healing, you know, he's healing the sick. This is such a beautiful scene. I mean, I want you to think about the last person, the last close friend of yours who was sick. I mean, just think about it. Did you want to be around them? And more than likely, they just had a cold or they had the flu and you're like, get away from me. You know, squirt, squirt, squirt. You know, I don't want any sickness. I don't want to catch anything. I mean, think about that. Like in a group of people, when someone's sick, most people stay home. Sometimes we come out because I have to. And you don't want to be around one person who's sick. Now get this picture. He's already healed. He's probably been teaching that day. He's had a long day, so the sun was setting. It's time to go home and relax and have some me time and watch some Netflix and do whatever they did back then. But so then the sick started coming in. So anyone who had anybody who was sick brought them to Jesus of various diseases. Not just a bunch of people with flu, not just a bunch of people who had a cough. I mean, there were lepers who probably were coming. People who were bleeding were coming. People who like maybe didn't have an eyeball were coming. People who were just a nasty mess were coming to see Jesus to be healed. And it was at the end of the day, the sun was setting, and it said he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Everyone and healed them. And demons also came out, and many crying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them, and he would not allow them to speak because he knew that he was the Christ. So here's Jesus at the end of the day. I mean, we'll go back to this several times. Jesus is he's on the clock, right? He's got 3 years of ministry. He probably realizes that. He's very intentional with who he heals, what he's doing, where he's going. And now the day's over. He's had a long day. I mean, the people are coming. To quote a modern great thinker, ain't nobody got time for that, right? Ain't nobody got time for him to stop and to spend the rest of the night healing people. But he does. And the thing that we see from that, the thing we can gather from that, is that Jesus has compassion for humanity. That he has compassion for mankind. That everyone that was brought to him, he laid his hand on them and healed them and cured them of their diseases and cast out demons all through the night, it says. He had great compassion on those around. He had great compassion. He made time for those who needed healing physically and ultimately spiritually. But what about us? Do we make time for those around us who are hurting, who are lost, who are suffering, who need the good news of Jesus? And it says down there, we get towards the end, it says, he came to preach the good news. He didn't come just to heal physically. He came to preach the good news, the gospel, to proclaim the kingdom of God. Do we have time for that? And more than likely, if you look at our lives, if you look at our schedules, we ain't got time for that. that we're so busy with our stuff and with our life, we hardly ever get out of our little bubble, our little comfort zone, to extend a hand of healing spiritually to those around us. And we're going to have a chance as a church to extend those arms to this community. Crawfish ain't going to heal anybody. An Easter service ain't going to heal anybody. Us knocking on someone's door is not going to heal anybody. But there may be some in those homes and other homes around Calhoun and maybe in your neighborhood, in your workplace, who they are hurting and they are dying and they're going to a place called hell and they need the good news of Jesus. And honestly, folks, and this is a message for me as well, we just need to stop being lazy. We just need to stop hiding behind our schedules and our excuses and say, well, I've got, you know, ball game, I've got this, I've got practice, I've got this, I've got rehearsal, I've got this work thing, I've got this work thing, I've got this, I've got all this stuff. We're busier. And don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching, I'm not saying all this stuff is bad. Goodness, I signed 3 kids up yesterday and spent way too much money. I've got 3 kids at Biedenhorn for the next 2 months. It ain't going to be fun. But you know, I can't hide behind that and say I don't have time for what God has really called me to do. And I pray that God would use my opportunities and my time at Biedenhorn not just to buy cheap Coke and popcorn, but to share the love of Christ at that ballpark. Because I'm going to be surrounded by people who don't know Jesus. And every one of us are surrounded by people who don't know Jesus, who are hurting, who are dying. Are we going to be the healing hands of Jesus to those around us? Or are we going to just go back? And Jesus could have done that. He could have gone back home and said, guys, look, I'm done for tonight. It's been a long day. Brought somebody back almost from the death. I've been some teaching. I just need some rest. But he didn't. He stayed all through the night and he healed. Will we be those same kind of healing hands to those around us? And I guess the question that we need to think on this morning and remember this morning is, how has Jesus healed you? How has he healed me? For some of you in this room, Jesus has healed you physically. You've gone through maybe cancer. You've gone through a dark time in your life. You've gone through some physical ailments. And he's healed you physically, and you can remember that. Maybe for some of you it's been addictions. Maybe it's been a very dark part of your life that you were just realized that you were captive. And you could go back to Jesus' sermon in the beginning of chapter 4 there, and he came to set the captives free. And some of us were captives, and now we're not captives anymore. That causes us to worship Christ. And we need to remember how he has healed us, how he has freed us. And that should drastically change our worship. It should change how we serve. It should change how we react and relate to those around us. How has Jesus healed you? And for some of you, you may have never experienced that. You may have never experienced. And I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those guys that I have lived in the world's eyes, a very good life. I haven't gone through any major sickness. Really, none of my close family have gone through any major sickness. I haven't lost any close family to cancer. I've lived a very protected life, and I realize that I haven't struggled with drugs and alcohol and all the stuff that sometimes grips people's life. And I always think back to what Jesus says. And it's one of those things that it just stays in the back of my mind, is that he who has been forgiven more loves me more. And there's some in this room, you've been forgiven more. That God has saved you. In essence, I know we could say our sin is the same. We're all equally damned, you know, from birth. I realize that. But there are some things that have a deeper hold on our life. And if God has saved you from that, and He's rescued you from that, we need to remember that. We need to remember how He has healed us. And for those, and this is, I think, where I've been the past year, for those like me who say, you know what, I've lived that good sheltered life as well. Sure, there's been some bumps, but there's just the bottom hasn't fallen out in my life. We need to remember what God has saved us from. Because I know that if God hadn't saved me when he did, if I wasn't full of the Spirit now, no telling what I would be right now. I'd probably beat my kids. And I say that jokingly, but also seriously. I realize that the Spirit of God wasn't inside of me, and he hadn't healed me physically and spiritually. He hasn't made me a new man inside of me. I couldn't control my temper. I don't know how parents do it apart from Christ. Or I may be unfaithful to my wife. Or I may just do no telling what, but He has saved me from that. He has healed me from that. He has kept me from that. And that would be selfish to say that I don't want other people to have that same kind of life. I don't want other people to be healed like I have been healed and saved and rescued like I have been rescued. And so not only do I want to extend my hands out here to Pine Hills, I want to extend my hands to Biedenhorn. I want to extend my hands to my family that's lost, to my friends that are lost, and I want to go and find people who are lost. And Jesus says that, and He said, I have come, Matthew, Mark, Luke, there we go. I have come to preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. So has Jesus healed you? Are you sharing this message of salvation, of healing in your life to those around you? Is this causing you to worship more sincerely, to serve more genuinely, to live more intentionally? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You, Lord, for a chance to get into Your Word and to look at the life of Jesus. And Lord, we thank You that He did heal, Lord, physically, that He healed Simon's mother-in-law and He healed those people, Father. But ultimately, He came for true healing, to truly set us free, not from our physical infirmities, Lord, but from our spiritual eternity. And for those in this room, Lord, who've experienced that salvation, they've experienced that freedom in Your Son Jesus, and that we are satisfied in Your Son, and that we savor Your Son, Lord, and we long for that relationship, Lord. But You may just remind us this morning what You have saved us from or kept us from, Lord, and may it just fuel our worship. May it fuel our giving. May it fuel our going. And we never just hold this gift to ourselves, and we share it with those who are all around us. And Lord, there are some this morning who I don't want to just forget, who are physically hurting, Lord. I just pray that if it be Your will, that You would heal them. If there are some in our life, Lord, who are just at their end, I just pray that You would bring healing into their life. But most importantly, would You heal them spiritually? So this morning, Father, as we just have a chance to respond, may we respond to You and to Your Spirit. In Jesus' name.